Our next speaker is David Rendall with the Minnesota Department of Ag, MD, or Minnesota Department of Health, excuse me. His presentation is going to be on the Minnesota Department of Ag, Minnesota Department of Health Community Public Water Supply System Pesticide Reconnaissance Study. David has been with the Department of Health since 2000, working as a Safe Drinking Water Act compliance engineer. He specializes in surface water treatment, nutrients, organic contaminants, and community fluorination. Welcome.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you, everybody, for inviting me here today. And we'll see if this works out pretty well. So as Evan mentioned, I'll be talking about a joint venture collaborative study between departments of health and agriculture on the presence of pesticides in community public water system wells throughout the state, you know, a reconnaissance type study. And we studied this by sampling at 108 wells across the state. This is a follow-up study to a project conducted in 2010 of similar structure. And the funding provided to the project came primarily from ag, from MDA, in the form of financing through pesticide fees and clean water, land, and legacy funds. But on the MDH side, our personnel and labor came through support from our service connection fees and the EPA Public Water System Supervisory Program and that funding. The wells that were selected for sampling around the state were distributed pretty similarly to the vulnerability map that Kim showed earlier and a few other maps you may have seen. Geographically located, well, good, it works, mostly in the central, northwest, southwest, southeastern part of the state, and follows roughly along the lines of the DNR aquifer vulnerability mapping, but also takes into account use of pesticides in those areas. And it compares somewhat well with the MDA groundwater monitoring through their 10 regional areas around the state for domestic wells, irrigation wells, and other types of wells that are not generally public water system wells. So sample collection occurred in the first quarter of 2015, February and March primarily, and that was due in part because of sample load availability from the MDA laboratory services who provided the analytical service on the samples collected. And also it fit into our workload on the MDH side of our district engineering staff. And so sites were selected based on risk, but also based on what their capability was of collecting a sample during a routine inspection of a public water system that serves a community. And these were all taken from raw groundwater taps, either outside at a tap at a well or inside a pump house or inside a treatment plant or similar facility, but something that's not the normal sampling routine for MDH staff, which is usually to take samples from treated water after treatment as it's going out to be consumed by the public. Sample analysis, as I said, was performed primarily through the MDA and the MDA laboratory services and consisted of pesticide analyses through gas chromatography, tandem mass spec, and also liquid chromatography, tandem mass spec. But they also performed the analyses on some water quality analytes, as did the MDH lab. And those consisted of bromide, chloride, and nitrate plus nitrite. All in all, 135 different pesticides and their degradates were analyzed, and they were all measured at the pesticide group at the nanogram per liter level or parts per trillion level, while the bromide, chloride, and nitrate, nitrite were measured in either the micrograms or milligrams per liter level. There were six of seven neonicotinoids on the radar that were chosen to be really added on to this 2015 version of the project. In 2010, it was not possible to analyze for these compounds, but in 2015, MDA's lab was able to add these on as analytes, especially during this lull in the season. So the compounds you see here, whose names I will mangle, are ones that were chosen and added on. Acetamiprid, clothianidin, dinotefuran, and imidacloprid, thiacloprid, and thiamethoxam. And the one that was not included was nithiazine because of the determination that it was a low risk for presence in water due to mostly use as an insect abatement strip additive and also exposure to water pathways. So 6 of 7 of those were included in the analyte list. For the actual results, 19 out of those 135 compounds and their degradates were actually detected at some point through the surveillance. 72 out of 108 locations, meaning wells, had one or more detections of a pesticide or its degradate compound, which comes out to 67% of those wells through the study. And metolachlor ESA was the most frequently detected at 63% of those wells. But no pesticides or their degradates measured above any applicable drinking water health guidance values or regulatory standards. And I'll comment here that the compounds on this list were not generally items that are regulated through the Safe Drinking Water Act and therefore don't have maximum contaminant levels associated with them. These are generally, I think, entirely compounds that are having guidance values established by EPA or by MDH as health risk limits or risk assessment advice, or when grouped together as a compound health assessment. A little summary about what was found in those 108 sites. We had 6 herbicide parent compounds, ranging from atrazine to metolachlor, and then 12 degradates of those herbicides and similar herbicides with the ESA and OXA types in that group, and one fungicide found in one detect in one sample. And just as a summary, as you can see here, there was a varying number of detections among compounds. Primarily the degradates were dominating on the detection number, while the parent compounds were obviously a little lower in number. Regionally or geographically, the detection numbers ranged from 0 to 10 compounds per well. And on the map, the larger and more harsh the color, the more number of detects there were. So the reddish sites here on the map had upwards of 6 or 7 or 8 compounds detected in that one grab sample event in February or March of 2015. One well in particular had 9 pesticides or degradates found, and one had 10 found. And all in all, there were 75% of wells that had 3 or fewer found, but that leaves 25% of wells that had 4 or more found through that advanced statistical analysis I did this morning. So the focusing in more on the MDA common detection pesticides, this is the group of 5 compounds that they scrutinize more highly than others due to higher risk and other concerns: acetachlor, alachlor, atrazine, metolachlor, and metribuzin. And their product common names are given on the table shown. They really exceed health standards. So from a health risk standpoint, that's promising, but the report and the project wanted to make sure there was focus put on those compounds because they are compounds that get more data collected through MDA and sometimes through MDH. So for acetachlor, there was no parent compound detected through this surveillance. But geographically, the degradates were present in some areas more than others. There was a variation, or a tracking by MDA and a variation in sales of compounds that contain acetochlor, and that has been varying over the last decade but not gone away. So we would expect to see that entering the environment, and therefore expect to see either the parent or the degradant present in some form, depending on time of travel and other environmental factors. Similarly for alichlor, there was no parent compound alichlor detected in these samples. There was, of course, a group of degradants found in different wells throughout the state, primarily southern, southwestern, southeastern, central. And in this case, this compound is not being sold or put on the market in Minnesota much in the last several years, so it makes more sense than the degradants would be found depending on the well structure and aquifer structure. Atrazine, the parent compound, is found in 7 sites among this group, and 4 out of those 7 were found in the southeastern part of Minnesota. And although sales have dropped in the last several years, they've plateaued and begun slowly rising, according to MDA data on pesticide sales. So that's useful to know as far as whether parent or degradant would be expected. Metolachlor, in this case, the parent compound, was detected only 1 time, but degradants were found much more often and were also once again found more in the southern two-thirds of the state. And sales of this group of compounds is not negligent, not negligible, but not increasing rapidly at this time, but it is on an upward trend as far as the data through 2015 showed. And metribuzin, only 1 of 4 degradants of metribuzin was found. DADK was detected in a site in the central part of the state. And sales have been increasing since 2011 for this group. But if you look at the range of volume, the levels have been much lower than metolachlor, atrazine, and acetochlor. So take into consideration the relative magnitude of those numbers. We did a summary of the detection numbers, frequency, median, and maximum compared to the most conservative health reference values for each of those 5 compounds as well, and also listed the types of those values on the table here. And these are as you can see, similar to the previous presentation before the break, the levels of maximum values and median values are much lower, a fraction of the most conservative health risk or health reference values for each of these compounds. And the types of health reference values on the table refer to either a health risk limit, HRL, or a risk assessment advice, with the subscript being the year that it was established. So as I mentioned before, metolachlor ESA was most commonly found, but the fractions of maximum values for that and others were slim compared to the most relevant health reference value. And that applied also to doing a composite analysis of compounds and looking at health risk from the group exposure as well. As I mentioned, there was also a water quality analysis done on these samples. So bromide and chloride were measured through the MDA Laboratory Services facility, and the ratio of chloride to bromide calculated for nearly all samples. We only had 1 or 2 samples where a sample was not able to be collected for bromide and chloride, and plotted those against the upper and lower limits for rainwater commonly used within MDH for looking at possible impacts of surface contamination or surface impact on water entering the well. And about 2/3 of the wells sampled in this project were above that upper rainwater level of roughly 300, and 1/3 below the lower level that we used of 250 for this group, indicating that it's possible that it's a good indicator for surface impact, or at least it seems to be matching up well with the fraction of samples that had pesticide detections. And for actual numbers for chloride and bromide, we put those together and just compared mean, median, 90th percentile, and maximum values for the chloride-bromide ratio for the group of pesticides detected and the group of samples in which no pesticides at all were detected. And looking at the mean and median chloride-bromide ratios, those were much different between the two groups. And among the 72 samples that had pesticides detected, there were a total of 236 pesticide detections in that group, with a maximum chloride-bromide ratio of 11,000 or more. We did a similar analysis for the nitrate plus nitrite levels as milligrams per nitrogen, milligrams of nitrogen per liter, nitrate plus nitrite. Both of our labs, MDH's lab and MDA's lab, performed some of the analyses for these samples, and the results are normally given as the sum of nitrate plus nitrite, with the assumption that that's primarily nitrate and the nitrite is negligible. And the distribution of higher concentrations and detects are among the southern part of the state, southeast, southwest, with some of the central, with a similar pattern to the pesticide detections from shown in previous slides. The distribution of nitrate plus nitrite compared to the maximum contaminant level and health risk limit of 10 milligrams as nitrogen per liter showed about one-third of samples were above the non-detect level at least, and a good 10 or 20% were above the halfway point of 5 milligrams per liter as nitrogen. So there was a definite fraction that was above the either 1 or 3 milligram per liter anthropogenic impact level for nitrate plus nitrate in groundwater. The groupings similar to bromide chloride were put together for this compound, some as well, and we saw that the mean, median, and maximum for the group where pesticides were detected was different from the group where no pesticides were detected. Once again, that's 72 samples with pesticides and 36 with zero detects. And the median of 2.38 nitrate plus nitrite in the group with pesticides was higher than the 0.47 for the group with none. In summary, I'd like to go over a little comparison between what we have from the 2010 projects and what we found in the 2015 project. The group of wells that were shared between the two stages of surveillance was a number of 80 wells across the state, shown on the map here. So the distribution was pretty similar to the overall distribution of the 2015 surveillance alone. And we saw that the detection frequencies between 2010 and 2015 among those 80 common wells was very similar among the six most commonly detected compounds: acetochlor-ESA, alichlor-ESA, alichlor-OXA, pentazone, metolachlor-ESA, and metolachlor-OXA. And in fact, there was a pretty good match on the median levels of metolachlor-ESA between the two sampling events 5 years apart. And the main difference here was that the alichlor-ESA median dropped off from 2010 to 2015. We also did a nitrate pesticide co-occurrence probability map and tried to calculate what the probability of pesticide detection would be in this group given the nitrate levels that were found in those wells. And I think this is similar to a previous slide from this morning for domestic wells, except this is a different scale and type of well set, where the probability jumps from about 50% to something closer to 90 and then 100 as you go from non-detectable nitrate to something in the 0.5 to 3 range to something above 3. Just to sum up the comparison between the two, there were 80 locations, meaning community public water system wells that were sampled, in each of those 2010 and 2015 studies. Alachlor and betazone showed greater than 5% decreases in detection frequency between those 2 years. So that was the unique events in between those two projects. But in both sets of data, all detections were well below the MDH or EPA established standards for health reference values or health risk for consumption of drinking water. And metolachlor ESA was the most frequently detected compound, found in 63% of the sample wells in the 2015 surveillance stage. 19 of 135 pesticide compounds were detected, and 72 of 108 well samples tested positive in those one sample set events in February-March 2015, and zero new neonicotinoids were found in these samples out of 6 of 7 that were added to the analytical list. And so I would like to acknowledge the great work of our partners at the Department of Agriculture, Heather Johnson, Brendan Schaefer, Dylan Tim, and our collaborates within MDH, Todd Johnson, Anna Schleep, the two laboratories who did the analytical work, primarily MDA Laboratory Services, and our field staff, MDH District Engineers, who went out and collected these samples in the field with the cooperation of our community public water systems who we work with and oversee for the Safe Drinking Water Act. And we thank you for your attention, and I'll be happy to take questions. What's the geology of the well in Renville County, and is that well in the township testing program? Without reviewing the report again, I'd have to refer you to the report to go see what that well description was, but the report is online at the MDA site as a PDF file. And of the 108 wells, I didn't go through and review them recently, so I can't recall that. Given that it's in Renville County, I'll refer you to Kim Kaiser and others at MDA to let you know if they're either on the planned scope of the township testing program or not. So how is that for a non-answer answer? But good question.
Have there been any actual testing of actual health effects as relates to nitrate in wells, given the number of wells that have demonstrated that they're above the limits, and then the number of wells that we don't even know about where they haven't been tested for a while?
Are there any demonstrated health effects of nitrate, and is there any health information given the known and unknown risks of nitrate in water? Well, of course, the Blue Baby Syndrome is the basis for the EPA Safe Drinking Water Act limit of 10, and so that's had some recorded history, especially in Minnesota, as being one of the originators of that case study. But there have been some studies that come through our environmental site assessment group at MDH regarding other health effects, and either potential or hypothesized. No one's made any determination in our agency to go with a different level based on any other health effects. So the short answer is none confirmed at this time, besides the Blue Baby Syndrome.
All right, we're going to take a question from Pigeonhole here. And you might not know the answer, because this might be a little bit older, but I think you might. So does Department of Ag keep records of the amount of fertilizer and pesticides applied per farm? And if so, wouldn't this data be better than the sales data?
I'll repeat the question just in case it's not audible, but does MDA track pesticide sales, pesticide application rates and use on fields? And my understanding was not directly, and that it's a difficult measurement to make, but once again, I'll defer a correct answer to MDA experts and MDA staff, especially those who participated on this study. So my understanding is we didn't have access to that data for this report, but there may be changes in programs or maybe things I'm not aware of in the program that actually do track that.
How does the state health department set standards for these pesticides?
How does the Minnesota Department of Health set standards for these pesticides? For these pesticides, they go through our environmental site assessment or health risk assessment groups, and they examine the toxicology and epidemiology of the compounds either through their normal program process or through the Contaminants of Emerging Concern program, in which public entities are also able to nominate compounds for review and analysis. And once that process is triggered, then MDH scientists and experts review the health effects and exposure possibilities of the compound. And after applying the appropriate safety factors, come up with a number for either a health-based value or then progress through the rulemaking process and make up a health risk limit result. On the EPA side, on the Safe Drinking Water Act side of things, it's a federal process that goes through opportunities for improvement in health nationally and occurrence data of that compound and basically health risk or health effects data for the compound. And then on that side of things, they look at a national impact as well as cost of treatment and practicality of treatment. Good question.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.